Welcome to the True North Community Church Podcast.
All right, so we're embedded in a message series called Milestones, and we're talking a little bit about graduation day because this, you know, for many of you guys, this is kind of graduation week or graduation weekend. I know each school is a little different, but I think by this time, all of our students and young ones are kind of out of school. And I don't know about you, but I kind of got to like jealously kind of live through my kids vicariously this past week as they got done with school because I just remember that feeling. You remember that feeling? Remember how good that was? Like when you were finally done for the summer and you were like, I'm free. And like, you know, I don't have to think about anything for two whole months. I was like, oh, just. I remember those days so well. I just like love that stuff. So it's kind of graduation weekend, right? And we're transitioning. Now, graduations are beautiful. Graduation ceremonies are beautiful things if you're graduating. If you yourself are getting a diploma, if you yourself are moving through, to begin a next stage in your life, it's a beautiful thing because your relatives gather around you, and sometimes there's a party, and sometimes there's like money that they give you and congratulatory high fives, and it's you put the period on the end of the sentence, and it's wonderful. But if you're attending a graduation ceremony for someone else, it's a horror show, right? Is there anything worse? Is there anything worse in life than going to somebody else's graduation? Even if it's one of your kids, you're like, oh, it's always like outside in the blazing sun or in a auditorium with no air conditioning. And there are people that you don't care about at a platform making long speeches about stuff that doesn't matter. And you're there just like, oh, could we please just go home? Why must you torture all of us for this whole time? And you just want to leave, right? So if you're graduating, it's wonderful. But if you're not graduating, it's kind of rough. And we kind of have all had to experience that as we have family members that move through. High school graduation in particular is an amazing time, right? And many of you, like some of you are right there. If you're in high school, you're sort of like coming up on that. And others of you, you have kids who've gone through it or you remember it yourself. High school graduation is an interesting time because right there, right at this time, we usually have this moment where we watch our students transform. And I was a youth pastor for many years. I my oldest daughter is 14 now. But I was a youth pastor for many years, so I watched many, you know, many graduating classes kind of come and go. And they if you're a parent, you look and it's kind of amazing because they enter high school as a timid little, like, mousy freshman. And then 4 years later, they graduate, and all of a sudden, they know everything, right? Say it with me, everything, right? So like all of a sudden now they're 17 and like, yeah, I know everything and I got the world is at my beck and call. And if you are a teenager, I'm not trying to bust on you, but it's just a fact, okay? Let me just hit you with this. If you're in your teens or your mid-20s, even into your late 20s, just hear me on something. This has nothing to do with what we're talking about. This is just a free advice thing, okay? When you're in your late teens into your mid to late 20s even, you think you know everything and you don't even realize what you don't know till you get to your 30s, okay? It's only when you get to your 30s that you realize what an idiot you've been the whole last decade, okay? So that's coming. But when you're a parent, you kind of watch this happen, and there's something else that happens. One other unusual thing always happens, or often happens, when students graduate from high school. Usually, when a student graduates from high school, it's the first time in their life they've actually ever wanted things to slow down a little bit. Now, when you're a kid, you spend all your time waiting for the moment when you can get a little older, right? And for many of us, this is many years ago, so it's going to take a little time to remember. But you'll understand this better. If you've ever mistaken a 10-year-old for a 9-year-old, you have suffered the wrath, right? If you're trying to guess the age of an adult, And you highball it, you're in trouble. You have to lowball people's age when you're guessing age for an adult. Like, oh, how old do you think I am? You gotta aim low, right? But when you're guessing a little kid's age, you gotta aim higher. They get offended. When you're a little kid, all you want to do is be older because you're just thinking there's so many benefits to being older. You know, when you're little, you're like, I could stay up later. I can do more. I can experience more. And when you get to high school, all you can think about is, I just can't wait to get my driver's license. I just can't wait to get a car and escape from my family and get some freedom and get out, right? So when you're in school, it's always like, I can't wait to get older, I can't wait to get older, I can't wait to get older. And often, high school graduation or the months leading up to high school graduation, it's often the first time a teenager ever says, whoa, 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 whoa. It's often the first time a teenager ever says that thing that many adults say when we go, I just can't figure out where the years have gone. Right? If you're a grown-up, you've said that before. You've looked at your life and gone, how could it be? How could I look at my family, I'm like, how could I have a daughter who's about to be a sophomore in high school? I'm still a sophomore in high school. In my mind, I'm still 15. So I can't figure out how that happened. And some of you are like, I can't figure out where the years have gone. And if you're in high school, some of you are like, I can't believe I'm going to be in college. I'm turning a corner and the years are moving faster. And often it's the first time in our life we ever kind of want things to slow down a little bit. My high school graduation was a complete blur to me because I just barely remembered. It was a long time ago. But my college graduation was something very different. My college graduation was kind of a big moment for me because I was graduating not just from college, but into a new path for my life. And I think as we observe this idea of graduation day, there's gonna need to be, for some of us, a moment when we choose to graduate, not from a school, but from a way of thinking. Some of us need to graduate from an old way of thinking and into a new way of thinking. And that was kind of what was going on for me as I graduated from college. Now, all through college, I thought I was going to be an English teacher. And then my senior year, I started to think about maybe becoming a journalist, and I wrote for a newspaper for a while. But man, embedded in my senior year of college, I felt God's calling on my life to enter ministry. And at that point, it was youth ministry. So I was certain I was going to be a youth pastor for the rest of my life. But it was a big deal. Transitioning, I don't come from a Christian, you know, family so much. So like the idea that I was going to go be a pastor was a really, really weird thing for my entire family. And so I left and I went to seminary out in Minnesota and I hated it. Oh my Lord, did I hate it. It was like the worst year of my life. I was in my heavy metal phase, okay? So I had long hair and ripped jeans. It was like 80s heavy metal, and I was in denial about the fact that the 80s were over and it just wasn't pretty. So I was, there's pictures somewhere. Don't, shut up. Okay, so I was, but that's where I was. I didn't fit in, and I just thought, and the other thing was, that seminary wasn't taking youth ministry very seriously, so I left. After a year, I left the seminary, I quit, and I went back. I took a job as a youth pastor in northwestern New Jersey, and I finished my seminary degree while I was working in ministry, and it was the best thing for me. It was way better for me to get my education while I was in the real world than it was for me to spend 3 years cloistered away in a seminary dorm. So it was a better way for me, but it took a radical shift in thinking from okay, I'm going to be a journalist or an English teacher to I'm going to be a youth pastor was whoa. And then it was like, okay, I'm going to go to seminary, and your typical seminary track is I'm going to be 3 years in school and then 1 year doing an internship somewhere, and that was like, no, we're not going to do that. And then I came back to work in northern New Jersey, and then I met this girl who lived in Center Reach, who I really liked and eventually proposed to, and then I moved to Long Island, and I took a job as a youth pastor in Center Reach, and that was a weird thing. It took a different way of thinking, and then halfway through my time at Our Savior Lutheran Church in Center Reach, I had to graduate again. I had another shift, because God was sort of whispering to me and going, yeah, I know you thought you'd be a youth pastor till the end of your days, but you're supposed to do something else. There's more. You have to start a church. And I was like, I don't want to start a church. I hate that idea. And I did. I didn't want to be a senior pastor. I didn't want to be the lead pastor of anything. And the truth is, for me, being a youth pastor was easy. It was easy. I'm kind of a big doofy guy anyway. I like to hang out with kids. I kind of think like a kid, and I could teach, and it was just easy. It just wasn't that hard, and I was comfortable. But God was calling me and going, you got to step out. You got to graduate. I know you've been at this school. You've been going to youth pastor school for a long time, and it's time to graduate and move on to something else. So we started this church, and it was uncomfortable, and I hated it, but man, it was beautiful, and then it took off, and then we started in this little building, and then I had to graduate again, because we outgrew the building, we had to move, and then we moved to a YWAM base, and then I had to graduate again, because we had to go move to a stupid hotel, and then we met in a hotel for like 8 months, while this place was being built, and then we graduated, and we came here, and every time, are you seeing a pattern? And then we came here, and we've been in this place for several years now, and it's been wonderful, and we've been comfortable, and I feel like, oh, my life has just sort of reached some sort of normalcy, and I have a good pace, and now we're graduating again, right? We're in the middle of this thing called the Make Space campaign, because it's stupid. You keep inviting your friends, and the church keeps growing. Thank you very much. So now we have to graduate again and move on to a new auditorium, and we're, thanks to your generosity, we're in the middle of this thing called the Make Space campaign, and we're going to move, God willing, we're going to begin construction this fall again, thanks to your generosity, and we're gonna start a new chapter. And every time I have to graduate to a new way of thinking, I hate it. Could I just be honest for a minute? I just hate it. Anybody besides me hate change? I don't want to change. I don't want to think differently. I don't want to change things. Like, things just got to be the way they were, and I like things the way they are, and why do we have to graduate? Guys, we all wrestle with this. And so for some of us, we need to move forward, right? Every time I jump to a new rock on this stream of life that we seem to be crossing, like we're skipping rocks across the stream, if you will, into our life, every time I get to a new rock, I'm like, I like this rock. I'm just going to stand here for a while. And then it's never too long before God goes, time for a new stone, time for a new rock. Come on, step out, jump. Let's see what happens. And every time he does it, I hate it and I'm uncomfortable. And then every time I do step out in faith, I realize how beautiful it is and how wonderful it is. And there are some of you here, it's time for you to step out in faith and begin life from a new platform and say, I'm going to look at the world differently. I'm going to think differently about the world that I live in. And for some of you, it's a big deal. It's a career move, or it's a relationship move, or it's something like that that needs to change. But for many of us, it's simply a different way of thinking. Now, we're not the only people in the world. We're not the first people ever to wrestle with this whole graduation thing. So I'm going to read you a few verses about a guy named Joshua from the Bible. Now, if you grew up going to church and going to Sunday school, you may know a little bit about Joshua. But if you didn't, suffice it to say that Joshua was Moses' right-hand man. Okay, Joshua, for lack of a better word, Joshua was Moses' protege, right? So as Moses advanced in years and he realized that he wasn't going to be able to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, he knew he was going to have to pass the torch to his young disciple, Joshua. And this is what we find in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31. This is Deuteronomy, chapter 31, beginning at verse 1. When Moses had finished giving these instructions to all the people of Israel, he said, I'm now 120 years old, and I'm no longer able to lead you. The Lord has told me, you will not cross the Jordan River, but the Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy the nations living there, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua will lead you across the river, just as the Lord promised. And you can imagine Joshua sitting there, like, checking his email, going, wait, what now? I'm doing what? Right? Like, excuse me? And then Moses says this. This happens right in front of everybody. Then Moses called for Joshua, and as all Israel watched, he said to him, be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors he would give them. You are the one who will divide it among them as their grants of land. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. And in verse 23, it says, then the Lord commissioned Joshua, son of Nun, with these words, be strong and courageous, for you must bring the people of Israel into the land I swore to give them. I will be with you. For Joshua, this was graduation day. This is graduation day. It's time. Okay, I used to go to this school. I'm done with that school now. I used to lead from the back. I used to be the right. And now I have to lead. Now I have to be the person that does this. Now I have to step out in faith. We've all experienced graduation days, and I'm not talking about cap and gown and ceremony graduations. I'm talking about graduations where we stop one way of thinking and begin a new way of thinking, when we stop living a certain way and begin to live a new way or take a new trajectory with our life. And some of us today need to have a graduation day. So with the time we have remaining left, I want to talk a little bit about some of the different ways that we need to graduate, some of the ways of thinking and patterns that we need to kind of maybe break out of and move on from. Some of us in the room, we need to graduate from worry and into courage. Some of us need to graduate from worry and into courage. Some of you go to school at Worry University. Right? You've been students for a long time. Some of you are professors at Worry University. Some of you teach others to worry, right? You're so worried, people get around you and then they get worried, okay? Because you're spreading the worry. That's kind of like some of you, that's just how you do. That's what you do. You spread that. And we need to graduate from that into courage. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says this. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. And in Luke chapter 12, it says, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And if worry can't accomplish a little thing like that, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? When worry is the mark of your life, it paralyzes you. It straps you down. It keeps you pinned down. It keeps you from becoming the man or woman that God would have you to be. So worry is a school. Worry needs to become a school that you used to go to, right? You've been going to Worry University, and now you got to graduate from that school and go on to something else. And once in a while, see, here's the thing. When you could decide today, you know what, he's right. I'm not going to worry anymore. I'm going to try not to worry. I got to just have some courage and step out. I'm going to do that. And you might make that decision today and choose that, but then tomorrow morning you wake up and you start worrying again, yeah? You ever have that happen to you? Like you decide you're going to stop, and then the next day. And it's got to be like this. You got to talk about worry or whatever it is you're moving on from as a school that you used to go to. So when you're talking to somebody else from Long Island, you say, oh, what school did you go to? Oh, I went to Sachem. Oh, I went to, you know, I went to Center Reach. Or, you know, you talk about your high school, but you don't talk about it like I still go there. You say, I went there. I used to go there. Right? Worry is a school you used to go to. Worry is a way of life that you used to embrace. Worry is something you used to struggle with. And let's be honest, once in a while you feel nostalgic and you put back on the t-shirt, and that's okay. But that's the school you used to go to. It's not the one you go to now. We need to graduate from that and begin to think differently. Some of us need to graduate from worry into courage. Some of us need to graduate from selfishness into generosity. We need to graduate from selfishness into generosity. It doesn't matter for a percentage of us. It doesn't matter how often I preach on it. It doesn't matter how many times I say, man, living outward bound is the way to be. God's called us to be a blessing to others. Some of what you have was meant to bless others. It's natural for us to keep all of what we have for ourselves. We live in a world that is constantly pushing us to be selfish. We have a natural inclination towards being selfish. So our natural inclination combined with the world's influence makes it very easy to just be all about us all the time. It's simple. So if you're going to be generous, if you're going to graduate from selfishness into generosity, it's going to take intention to swim upstream against that. You're going to have to decide for yourself. In real time, some of what I have was meant to be a blessing to others. Not all of what I have was meant for me. Some of what I have was meant to help somebody else. And so it doesn't, for a percentage of us though, it almost doesn't matter how many times you read verses. This is Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It's more blessed to give than to receive. You've heard that before. You even believe that. Nobody in this room is going, no, that's wrong. I don't buy that. You know, nobody thinks that. Everybody knows it's better to give than to receive. Everyone knows it's more that your life is more blessed. Let me break it down a different way. I have never in all my years of ministry had somebody come to me and go, you know what, Bert? I tried that generosity thing. I tried trying to be a blessing to others. It was horrible. I couldn't wait to getting back to spending all my money on myself. Nobody ever says that. Nobody has ever said that. No one has ever thought that because anyone who practices generosity realizes how good it feels and realizes how that thing unlocks so many other areas of blessing in your life. But still, we struggle and we go to Selfishness University and we make it all about us. And that's kind of where we've been. And some of us need to graduate. We need to graduate from worry into courage. And we need to graduate from selfishness into generosity. Some of us need to graduate from judgment into compassion. Some of us need to graduate from judgment into compassion. You know what I mean by judgment, right? We have a way of judging others, right? Some of us go to judgmental you. That could be a sermon series right there. Judgmental you, like with the universe, you for universe. Somebody write that down. Okay, so judgmental you, that's your story, right? You know what I'm talking about. And some of you are like, oh, I'm not judgmental. Okay, look. How many times a week do you pull up next to somebody with a bumper sticker on their car and totally judge them based on what's on the back of their car? You've done this before, right? Yeah, come on, you're all busted. You pull up and they have a sticker back there for a candidate that you disagree with, or they have a slogan on there that you disagree with, and then what do you do? What do you do when that happens? I'll tell you what you do. You try to pull right up next to them and you try to get a look at them to see if you're right. You say, I know exactly what this person's all about. I know, yeah, watch. And then you pull up next to him and you give him a little look and you go, yeah, just like I thought. You know, like you look, what did you just do? You gave them the once over, you looked at their profile, you just summed up their whole life from a bumper sticker. Great job, right? You know that's dumb. You know that's a bad idea. You know we're not supposed to, you know that Christians aren't supposed to do that, right? Like, I'm sorry to like, because I'm guilty of it and we're all guilty of it. Like, we're not supposed to think that way. That's not how Jesus operated, okay? So we need to graduate. Some of us need to graduate from judgment into compassion. We need to graduate from, oh, look at this idiot. I can't believe what he thinks. Or I can't believe somebody thinks that. I'm so wrong, so stupid. And we pull up next to them and take their inventory and just heap judgment on them from the front seat of our car. And what we need to graduate to is, you know, that's, agree or disagree, that's a person that God cares about very much. Agree or disagree, voting for the candidate that I like or the candidate I don't like or, you know, whatever policy or whatever slogan is back there, whatever I might think about this person, however they dress, whatever they're, however they've tattooed themselves or pierced themselves or whatever they're wearing or however old they are or whatever ethnicity they are. I mean, just pick a basis upon which we sometimes prejudge other people. And we need to start inserting instead of that prejudgment, that is a person that God cares about very much. That is a person that Jesus Christ died for. They have a story. They have issues. They have struggles just like me. We need to graduate from judgment into compassion. Luke chapter 6 says this, "You must be compassionate as your Father is compassionate. Do not judge others and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others or it will come back against you. Forgive others and you will be forgiven." Guys, it's not by accident that be compassionate and do not be judgmental appear right next to each other in the scriptures. Being compassionate, graduating into compassion is a big part of this. We need to graduate from judgmentalism into compassion. Some of us need to graduate from laziness into servanthood. Some of us need to graduate from laziness and just start becoming servants. And I could lump myself in with this because I'm the laziest person. I love being lazy, man. I love just kicking back. Amen. Oh, now we're getting Pentecostal. Preach it. Yes, lazy people. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah, I know. Right? Okay, you like to be lazy. I get it. I'm with you, right? So I understand. But I'm telling you, man, you will learn, if you haven't done it yet, just like the generosity thing, you're going to learn being a servant, serving others feels better than being lazy. It actually feels better than being lazy. And that begins in your home. It begins in your school. It begins where you work. It begins with being willing to pick something up off the floor that you didn't spill. It begins with being willing to just let others go ahead of you. It just begins with having a servant attitude. So yeah, it's your home, it's your school, it's your job, it's your neighborhood, and dare I say, it's your church. Some of us need to graduate from laziness into servanthood, and we would love to see some more people serving around here. You probably noticed it's the same people each week being an usher and chopping up the bagels and making the coffee and doing the work, and we love these people. They're all awesome people, good-looking people, by the way. But we would love to have some more people. Like it's a very small percentage of our church that serves. We would love to see some more of that. It'd be amazing for some more of us to graduate from laziness into servanthood. And finally, some of us need to graduate from isolation into community. Some of us here, we're just very isolated, and it's easy to be alone. It's easy to just be quiet. In fact, for many of you, one of the things you like about True North is that it's big enough for you to be anonymous. For some of you, one of the things you really like about this church is that it's big enough, you can slip in and out, no one sees you. You know, if it's a small church, everyone kind of knows, there's people going, you know, but here it's quiet, you know, you can kind of be quiet, you can slip in and you can get your bagel and come in late and sit in the back or sit in overflow. I see you overflow people. Like you can sit in overflow and just come in and out and just be anonymous. And some of us need to graduate from isolation into community. And if that's you, if you want to jump in to be more of a servant and jump into more community, like visit the connections department, get on board, sign up, connect a little bit more, take the next step. Whenever you look to take the next step, whether it's you want to graduate from worry into courage, from selfishness into generosity, whether you want to graduate from judgment and into compassion, from laziness into servanthood, or from isolation into community, whenever you take that step, you're going to hate it. Let's just be honest, can we? We hate change. We don't want to change. We want to stay right where we are and leave everything right the way that we are. Thank you very much. I'm sure this sermon applies to somebody else. I'm good right here. That's how we want to live. I'm telling you, it'll be uncomfortable and it'll be like, ugh. But man, when you go through that, when you finally graduate, when you put that mile marker on the ground and say, I'm stepping off of this rock. I'm going to jump to a new stone. I'm making a new beginning. I'm going to try to think differently. I'm going to try to operate differently by God's grace and through his calling. I'm going to try to live differently. You will never, ever regret making that decision. You might deeply regret staying at the same school for 10 years. That would be awkward, right? Anybody remember in grammar school, like the terror of being left back? And remember that? Oh, you'll get left back. I mean, that was like the worst thing ever, you know, when you were a kid. Nobody wants to be in the same school for 10 years. And some of us, we've been in the same school a long time, and it's time for us to step up and move out. And I'm going to be praying that whatever area it is and whatever space it is and whatever stone it is that God's calling you to step off of and onto, that his grace will go with you, and that his peace and grace will go ahead of you, and that you will find faith to be strong and courageous as Joshua was. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and we thank you for being so good to us, and we ask now, Father, that one at a time you'll give us the courage we need to step out in faith. Help us, Father, to graduate. We don't want to stay at that same school forever. We don't want to stay pinned down, struggling with the same thing, Father. We're comfortable and we're sort of warm and happy where we are, but it's time for some of us to move on and step out and begin something new. And I pray that as that happens in each of our lives, Father, that you'll fill us with the faith that Joshua had and teach us to be strong and courageous. In Jesus' name, amen.